welcome everybody to another episode of Mentioned in Dispatches. I am your host, Brant, here with the Armchair Dragoons, and we have a full house of Dragoons tonight with us again. Mike, at this point, are you like officially one of the co-hosts of this thing for as often as you've been here this season?
I'm not kidding when I say, when I told my wife I was doing yet another one of these, she says, "Are you like the Ed McMahon of this thing?" I said, you know, that's probably a good way to put it.
Probably not too far from the truth. So BB yes. Mike is back yet again. We can't chase him away. But then also joining us, we've got two new podcast guests, neither one of which have joined us on the podcast before. And so first of all, here up in the great wild north, although not quite north of the wall, Sam is joining us. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, Brant. Thank you.
And then from across the pond, up past his bedtime, Pascal is here with us. Welcome, Pascal. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for receiving me.
All right. So this crew was specifically assembled tonight because I needed multiple people to talk about stuff I really don't know a lot about, which is great because I can just ask a question and let them go for a while. But we're here to cover the 4X genre of games tonight, but specifically looking at the space 4X genre. Folks that have been around the Dragoons a while know I'm a big Civ player, big Civ fan, love that series. But that's more historical 4X, and we're looking to the stars this time. And so whether we're talking some of the old stuff with, you know, Master of Orion and working your way forward from there, or all the way up to some of the current ones, Sam has been poking around with the new Warhammer 40K stuff from Matrix and working on some of those things. We've got these guys here to talk space 4X stuff. And so just the real quick question to get the conversation started. Pascal, what is your favorite Space 4X game of all time?
Well, I started playing, my first computer was in 92, I think. And my first computer game, Space 4X, was the first Master of Orion. And I have to say, it's for me, it's still the best designed game, 4X. Until now, I haven't found anything as well designed as it is. That's my first game.
So you're talking the original Master of Orion, not one of the numbered sequels afterwards.
As for me, Master of Orion 1 is the best one.
All
best
right.
Designed.
All right.
Which some people probably point out is probably considered a bit of a minority opinion. Master of Orion 2 is often considered more the benchmark/gold standard of the genre. Personally, I'm more in Pascal's camp.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So your all-time favorite then is the original Mu.
I wouldn't say that, but I would say that between the two Master of Orion games, I like the first one more.
All right. So your all-time favorite would then be?
For me, there's the first one, and the one I know Pascal is expecting me to say, so I'll list this one first. Is Star
we
Trek Next Generation, Birth of the Federation.
We all expect you to say that.
Yeah.
Which one?
Birth of the Federation.
That's another very great favorite of mine, yes. Because like Sam, I'm a huge Trekkie, so Star Trek is also my big fan.
And I think that's originally how you and I kind of first met each other, Pascal, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm, was all those years ago on the Birth of Federation forums.
So now that you've said the Birth of Federation because Pascal expected you to, what's the actual answer?
Well, for many years, that was my favorite. Absolutely no question. In more recent years, it's gotten a little murkier, and the answer I'm going to give now is with a couple of huge caveats is Stellaris.
Okay.
And I can already feel Pascal cringing from here when I say that.
Just maybe to precise. I mean, me and Sam, we know each other for the last 20 years, about 20 years at least.
Yeah.
So it's a long story. But yes, I have my problems with Stellaris. I think it's very there are some great ideas behind this game, but ultimately, it's very dull and boring.
Well, and I have some real issues with Stellaris as well. Maybe not so much with the basic concept as you, but I have real problems with the direction that they've taken it in the last few years, which is why I play an older legacy version of Stellaris and not the current iteration.
All right. Well, hold that thought. We'll come back around to Stellaris. Mike, all-time favorite Space 4X one.
So this is going to be an interesting answer because I honestly, for me, I think it is Master of Orion 2 / Birth of the Federation. And I say / because they came out about the same time. And honestly, Birth of the Federation, no matter how you want to slice it and dice it, it's kind of a clone of Master of Orion 2. And if I were given the choice to play one or the other, I would probably pick Birth of the Federation because, like these two other guys, I love Star Trek.
But I think the story of Birth of the Federation is closely linked to Master of Orion because, of course, it was published by Microprose and it was it could have been Master of Orion 3, but they got the license for Star Trek and they made it Birth of Federation. Mm. But it could have been Master of Orion 3 instead.
Yes. Yeah. And no one said Master of Orion 3, thankfully.
None of us were going to list that game ever.
I want to throw one more thing out, and that's and this probably, I don't know if this is going back even before you guys. There was the first computer game I played that got me into computer gaming was actually Starflight by Binary Systems. And I don't know if you guys have heard of that one.
I've heard about it, but it's before my time.
And that's what I was thinking.
I've heard of it. I know, and that's about all I can say.
And so Starflight was, you began with one starship basically, and you had a whole galaxy to explore. And it's hard to explain how impressive that was at the time, but they pulled it off and it was just an awesome, awesome game.
Mike, so, this is the part where we're all going to point out that you're old.
Yeah, well, I will freely admit that.
The fun part about this is I'm pretty sure I'm the second oldest dude on this call, and that's unusual for me. Usually I'm the kid brother in the room. So
I'm not sure. I'm not that young. It's just that I got a computer very late.
Okay, so wait, with that said, Brandt, what is your favorite Space 4X game?
So here's the challenge with me with the challenge with me with Space 4X stuff is it was never a genre that I was all that interested in part because most of the other games that I was playing, I was never as big of a computer gamer. I'm a huge fan of the Civ series and been playing those going all the way back to Civ 1 in black and white on an old Mac, you know, laptop way back when. But the Space 4X stuff, there were some available on the computer. Not a ton of them had gotten ported over to the Mac, which was my primary machine and still is, where because I was primarily doing a lot of graphics work. Most of my time while the Space 4X genre was taking off, that you guys were playing those Space 4X things, I was off doing role-playing stuff or generally out of wargaming as a whole for quite some time. I was kind of wandering in the RPG realms for most of the 90s until the late 90s when I got back into wargaming. A lot of the Space 4X stuff that you guys love, like I've never played one of the Master of Orion games because they were popular at a time when I wasn't sitting down in front of a computer playing anything. So it's not something there were a couple of really goofy little like shareware sorts of programs on the Macs in the late 80s, early 90s that were pretty bad, very rudimentary 4X games that had like no research tree at all. It was just basically sort of conquer this planet and it had an industrial base that allowed you to produce more ships. And that was it. That was as far as I ever got into the genre.
So I will say, I won't derail the conversation, but I will say we didn't ask the question. But given the choice, my preference actually is the historical 4Xs. So I actually started with Civ 1. That was my first true 4X game, and I've never looked back since. I've owned every iteration of Civ since then.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily so much it has to be one or the other, but a big chunk of this was the space genre versus the historical genre are two very different worlds. And you have folks that are hardcore into one and not at all into the other, like me, right? But
sure.
But I really love both aspects. But and I'm a history buff. I love history, and but of course, well, I started loving all the Battlestar Galacticas and the Star Wars and ETs. That's also a very big part of my childhood. Of course, Star Trek, and this was of course one of the reasons why I loved to go into Master of Orion 1. But generally, I would have started basically at the same level for space 4X or historical 4X, but I thought that the design of Master of Orion 1 was superior to Civilization 2's design. So if Civilization 2 was based on the same kind of design than Master of Orion, then I would have played probably Civilization 2 as much as I have played Master of Orion 1.
Hmm. So one thing about Master of Orion, though, I'm going to knock here a little bit. And it's I think it was the first Master of Orion more than the second, although they both suffered from this. And that's what they call the Stack of Doom. And I remember playing Master of Orion so much that, I finally built my first, what do they call them? They're not Death Stars in Master of Orion, but I built my first Death
Doom
Star.
Doom Stars.
There you go. So I built my first Doom Star. I'm all excited. I've got this Doom Star. And I sent it off to attack, I don't know who it was, somebody. And I get there, and my Doom Star is facing like 20 other Doom Stars, and I had to rage quit because it's like, why are they not suffering from the same penalties I'm suffering from? It was just so lopsided to me.
I never had that problem, but yeah.
I think that's an issue in a lot of different 4X games, depending on design, because there were some of the Civ games that suffered from the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. But it was exaggerated for some reason for me in Master of Orion. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, we all know any veteran strategy gamer knows that AI, AIs get bonuses just to keep up with it. That's an unfortunate reality of our genre. But there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. That sounds like you definitely encountered one of the worst examples of that.
A bad way to do it. Let me ask a couple of questions looking more comparatively across the space 4X genre as a whole. Obviously, gameplay, the underlying engine, the underlying decisions that players need to make, and the ways in which those decisions are presented to them are fairly constant over time. But other things have changed over time with a combination of newer models that could be put in place, refinements in AI to give you a better challenge as a player. Obviously, the graphics and the speed at which things can process has gone logarithmically better over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And so as you guys are looking at some of the games, even looking back at some older favorites or some newer ones currently, if we start thinking about things like the graphics that things have, the expansiveness of the worlds that you can explore, the variability in what you can explore, the ways in which the tech trees have developed and changed over time, are there any particular ones that stand out over the others as being far above the rest of the genre in one specific facet? Mike, as you think about some of these things, is there a specific element somewhere that really jumps out at you that one game does so much better than all?
There is a lot out there that and that's going through my mind right now. I kind of like one of the big improvements, I think, over the early Space 4X games that I like is I think I like the way that Endless Space handles the tech tree. And it's not a tech tree, it's more of a tech circle. Okay. And you have these several tech circles. And so you're not restricted. It's not a linear, research this to get this, to get this, to get this. You kind of pick what you want to research, within that circle. And you don't have to research them all. You can pick certain amount to get you to the next advanced tech circle and start picking from that as well. And you can go back and pick from the first one. So I think to me, that's the first thing that popped into my mind is the way they changed up the tech tree that we're used to see.
All right, Pascal, is there something out there that really jumps out at you as this specific game did this thing really, really well better than all the others?
I think there are quite a few games that each is special. I mean, I've been Endless Space is from an artistical point of view is amazing. Amazing soundtrack, amazing artwork, and of course the tech tree is really interesting. My problem with Endless Space 2 or even 1 or Endless Legend is all the mumbo jumbo that nobody understands. I mean, they always have to create new names instead of phaser or whatever. They will create a new name that nobody understands and make it more complicated than it should be. I think it's a great game.
That's not limited to 4X games, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean,
the really role-playing guys love doing that, right? Oh, we've got to create all sorts of new labels to put on things in the role-playing world just to try and be different.
That's true.
And then, of course, Stellaris is doing a lot of great things as well. I mean, if you look at the solar systems, they're looking fantastic. I mean, each solar system is different with planets, very nice artwork, and of course with all the stories that are around the game, every time a different one. It's very rich. It's a lot of text, but it's very rich. And another game I really liked is not very famous, but it's Horizon, and they made some very interesting quests with final movies. So it's not just about winning the diplomatic win or just win the total war win, but you have
conquest victory.
Conquest victory, but you really have two different paths you can choose and to win the game, and with some movies at the end. So this was also very well done, Horizon.
Yeah, I think Horizon's an underestimated game. Honestly, it kind of got panned when it was released, but there's a really good game there.
All right, Sam, what sticks out at you amongst the 4X genre? What jumps out as something that somebody did really, really well?
God, as the other two said, where to begin?
At the beginning, where else?
Yeah, well, two games that I think did a good Armada 2526 and Distant Worlds Universe both do, I think, a nice job of establishing race-specific victory conditions. Like in Armada 2526, it's actually you win by scoring so many points, you know, within however many turns you've established for the length of the game. And you score points based on your race. Like there's one called the Walden Forest. They're sort of like your hippie environmentalist. And there you go around by, you know, scoring points by being at peace and making your population happy. Other races score points just by the more points they have for their population. So they have an incentive to go more around conquering people, which given that they are supposed, their background is a conquest oriented race, that makes sense. Distant Worlds, there they have, like I said, they have, each race has its own victory conditions, which it can be things like, you know, have the most tourist income or the most tourist space stations in the galaxy or the most peace treaties in the galaxy, the most trade deals, that sort of thing. It's generally thematically appropriate with the race that you're playing as. So it encourages a certain amount of role playing as well. And in addition to encouraging you towards your specific victory condition. So I think that's something that both games do fairly well in their own way.
So it's not just that they are race specific victory conditions, but they may be asymmetric ones as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way it's not always about just, you know, conquering the galaxy, or you know, painting the map your color, or even going for the diplomatic victory in the games that have one. You know, it's a different way of winning the game.
Yeah, I agree. Both are also great. Yeah, great games.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah.
I think the idea of those asymmetric victory conditions is kind of neat, because that's not necessarily something that you've seen available in some of the historical games. I think a lot of the historical games, you have variable paths to victory, like the Civ series, for instance. You can get a diplomatic victory or a science victory or a military victory, but those same conditions, they're the same for everybody, and they're available to anybody unless you've toggled them off during your settings, in which case they're available to nobody. And so it's very different in the historical games that the Mongolians have the same military victory condition that the Venetians have. And that always struck me as a little oddball, but from what you're describing, that sounds like, that's a neat twist on what you could put in place for variable victory conditions. And so that's kind of cool to hear about.
So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating that more Space Force games and more Forks games in general don't include this feature, because it works pretty well. I mean, how they're implemented in our modern Distant Worlds are still somewhat flawed, but they're certainly still better than what we've seen in most other games as is. So why not take those systems and put those systems in future games and improve upon them?
Looking at some of the Space 4X games, obviously one of the cool things about going to outer space is you run into not humans. And so as we're looking at some of the other things that designers have created for those 4X games, Pascal, is there one particular, just call them all alien civilizations, is there one particular alien civilization or one game that handles several different kinds particularly well? Is there one that jumps out as, hey, this was really neat the way these guys did this?
Oh, tough question.
conversely, is there one that's just so horribly bad that people should never go anywhere near it? I mean, we take either extreme.
In terms of races.
In terms of, what you run into out there in outer space. Because, you know, again, it's not just a blank canvas that are waiting for humans to fill it up. I mean, part of the point of the Space 4X genre is that you get to run into, you know, other civilizations, other life forms. I mean,
I'm not sure, but of course I have a very strong connection with the races of Master of Orion, and also in the last, of course, they are a little bit the bears, the birds, etc. So it's not they are not so special in that sense, but I mean, they are very specific. They have very specific names. I mean, even my kids, they know the names of the races of Master of Orion. So the Alcaris, etc. I mean, it's these are names that are struck into the mind. I mean, I cannot tell you the names of races in Stellaris or even Endless Space 2. I don't know. I don't have the names. Some of Armada 25, 26. But the names I know by heart are the ones from Master of Orion. And of course, there was one race which was really scary. It was Master of Orion 3. It was the Ithkul. And okay.
Is it the Ithkul? Was that Master of Orion 3?
Yes, it's very, very ugly and quite scary, actually.
Okay, I thought you're gonna say the Harvesters from Master of Orion 3.
Yes, I mean, yes, the Harvesters, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah,
the,
yeah.
Their name is Ithkul. I think it's a Harvester.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yep. Yeah, those guys are freaking scary.
Yeah, and the sound also very scary.
Uh huh.
It's always good when somebody can create a something in a game that haunts your dreams. So, you know, that always sticks out to you. All right, Sam, look, I got it. You love the Klingons. You think they're great. They're the most coolest, badassest alien race ever invented out of the Space 4X world. Is there something that jumps out as a particular compelling race or set of races in a specific game? Somebody that did it really well?
Well, Birth of the Federation, one of the reasons that it was my favorite 4X, Space 4X for so long, and still remains to this day one of my favorite games overall, and is for Pascal and Mike as well, I suspect at least this is one of the reasons for them, is that the you know, all five of the playable empires in the game. You've got the Federation, the Klingons, the Romulans, the Cardassians, and the Ferengi. And the developers, they did a very good job of representing them in the game and making them feel distinct.
Okay.
You know, between the artwork, the music, the voice work, the ship models, it's just all very well done. And that they have somewhat different mechanics, and you're definitely encouraged towards a certain play style when playing as each of those races. That is definitely one of the appeals of Birth of Federation, is that when playing as the Klingons, you want to go out and conquer the galaxy and stomp on everyone and show them that you are the big badass warriors. As a Federation, you are focused more on research and diplomacy and playing, and being the nice guys, and that's how you expand. And Cardassians are more of a, they're focused on duty to the state and loyalty, and they have their spy abilities are a big factor in their play style, and so on and so forth.
Well, I guess one of the things that it almost feels a little bit like cheating, though, when you're bringing up Birth of Federation, because none of those guys created any of those things for that specific game, right? They were building off of stuff somebody else had already created. And so while you can admire the implementation of it within that game, it almost feels like cheating for you to pull those out and go, yeah, I love those guys in the Space 4X games, because you probably love those guys not in the Space 4X game. Those civilizations within the Trek universe are so well known outside the world of those games that it's impossible not to go into those games with an affinity in one direction or another for each of them, isn't it?
You're totally correct on that. Yes, that is an entirely valid point.
All right, so we're going to give you a flag and 15 yards for that one.
Fine. I'll accept the penalty.
Yeah. So just pretend you're a Vikings lineman. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So. All right, Mike, talk to us.
So I think, honestly, since the beginning, I think all these games have done a pretty good job of offering up races that you might encounter in space that are, different than what we think of. It's hard to do because we haven't met any other races, but I think it was the Silicoids in Master of Orion that didn't eat food. So if you played as the Silicoids, you didn't have to worry about food.
They eat stones.
So that's kind of cool. And I think most games since then, and the only thing that comes to the top of my head about somebody really putting a lot of thought into different races would be, again, Endless Space. I think there's they really put a lot of thought behind each race. There's a lot of history there. But I think it's more important to talk about what shouldn't be an alien race that you encounter. And so what the hell are the Snathi in Gal Siv? Who wants to run into a squirrel or a teddy bear in space? And I think that when I see that, you've given up. You're not trying. I mean, you have given up. I'm going to put squirrels in my game and call them an alien race. No, don't do that. Do not do that.
We also have teddy bears in I think it's a Polaris Sector.
I think it was Sam that posted in the forums about, it was Interstellar.
Interstellar Space Genesis?
Yes. You posted the new content coming out, and what do I see in a space suit or a mech suit? It's teddy bears.
Everyone likes teddy bears.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I could be wrong. I mean, NASA could send back pictures from I don't know, Mars or somewhere, and they've encountered teddy bears, and I hope they don't, but
it's George Lucas' fault with
yeah, for the Ewoks.
With Ewoks.
It could be, but I think the games that succeed in coming up with a different race are the ones that come up with things like the Silicoids, where you're looking at a race that it doesn't think at all like we do. I mean, I want to eat rocks, and I want the planet that's all methane. I don't care about Earth-like planets. I want methane planets. So to me, that's kind of what these 4X games ought to strive for.
So getting off the beaten more, path.
Exactly.
Yeah. More differentiation.
Yeah. And I say
so that almost brings up in, I mean, the way you're talking about that, you know, here's this one particular race that doesn't eat food. It almost seems like you could, however you want to describe them or characterize them, but for game mechanics, it's almost as though here are a half a dozen specific mechanics that you need to worry about in the game. There's a research mechanic, there's a food mechanic, there's a travel mechanic, there's a whatever, and give each race their own specific twist on each of those mechanics. So if you've got a race that doesn't have to eat food, you've got another one that has some limited teleportation, and so they don't have to actually fly from, you know, system to system. They can teleport short distances and sort of hop their way across the map. And another one, you know, doubles their research speed or whatever. Like it almost seems like you could build out the mechanics that way and then figure out the game balance once the mechanics are in place.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, as the humans, you could have the next system you encounter could be this barren rocky planet that's useless to you. And you think, I'm going to keep looking, but some other race could see that and think that's a Gaia world for me. And I'm going to build a huge colony right next to yours because that's paradise. So, yeah, exactly.
To take a quick twist off of the normal 4X sorts of games that we've been talking about, I know the space MMO world is pretty popular with lots of folks out there playing in a variety of MMO type environments, EVE Online being one of the biggest, obviously. Is there much 4X, is there much appeal in those MMOs for someone who is a more traditional space 4X player, or are those MMOs just so completely different that it's not something that you would want to poke around in at all? Pascal, have you played in the MMO sandbox at all, and what did you think?
Well, the thing is, I'm a little bit old school, and I've got four kids, so so I really need to be able to play whenever I want, whenever I can, and so I really cannot go and say, okay, I have fix 1-2 hours per day to play a game. I mean, I just don't have it. I cannot plan it. So I haven't tried it. It's not, but I don't want to. But it's not realistic for me. So yeah. I really prefer to have games I can play whenever I want, and maybe leave it on the side for 1 or 2 months and then come back to it and continue.
I think that makes sense. I think we could all appreciate that. So Sam, have you dipped your toe in the MMO waters at all?
I did back in the day, and pulled my toes back out of the water simply because it was too appealing. Like it was kind of one of those things where it's like, I would get too addicted. I knew I would probably just get too addicted and never come back up for air again.
Okay. That's a remarkable amount of self-awareness and self-control there.
Yeah. Well, I already spent a lot of time playing just single player games, mostly 4X and grand strategy games. I mean, and that's when I can, you know, quit anytime I wanted to. So, I mean, God only knows. I mean, it was not hard for me to imagine how much easier for me to get sucked into an MMO. And now there's a couple ones. The only one I can think of offhand is the one called Starborn. Now there's a couple of space MMO RTS games out there that are ramping up where, you know, it's a 4X game online, and events are transpiring all the time where, you know, even when you're away from the game, things are still happening where your empire could be attacked and whatnot. And that's sort of like, it'd be hard to stop playing that because you'd always want to be tending to your empire.
Yeah, that's what drove me away from some of the other 4X online types of games. Again, the historical ones, things like the Grepolis or Ebony or whatever else, you know, that they seem kind of cool because you can play them from anywhere. And so you can just hop online and off you go. But the persistence of the worlds when you're not online, that really kind of wrecked things. And I get it from their perspective, you know, that from a business perspective, the more you're online, the more money they're making. And so the better it is for them to keep you as engaged as possible. But it wasn't a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. It was like when you feel compelled to keep playing, like, I mean, that's just becoming like another job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. And at that point, it's not fun anymore. Right. So
exactly.
Mike, what about you? MMO stuff at all? Ever played around with them much?
You're asking the solitaire guy if he plays MMOs very much. No, you know, the answer is no, really. I did try Star Trek Online because I was a Star Trek. I am a Star Trek fan. But, you know, yeah,
that's one of the few I tried as well.
I get in there and it's, again, it's my idea of Star Trek isn't somebody else's idea of Star Trek, but you get into one of those things and it's just all these people that are in there just to either cause chaos and havoc or just they have their own agenda. And it's just, there's nothing in there that makes it appealing to me. I don't want to continue to explore and to just, you know, immerse myself into that setting. And I think all MMOs are like that. I would rather, you know, maybe there's MSOs, massively solitaire online, because I would love to explore, you know, a universe that's constantly changing that, you know, that I can play the way I want to play. Yeah, and so no, the answer to your question is no, no MMOs.
Look, I knew you were a solitaire player. Like, I got that. I was just, you know, wanting to cover all the bases. Didn't want you to feel left out of the query there, so.
Oh, no.
For someone who doesn't know a ton about the Space 4X genre and has heard us talking on the podcast and said, hey, you know, what is it about these Space 4X things that people, you know, what should I know about them? What should I poke around with them? What is it about the Space 4X genre that keeps you coming back for more? What is it that has got a hold of you and won't let go? Sam, what is it about the Space 4X games that keeps you needing another hit?
It's you know, the pull of the unknown, and that you're out there exploring the void of space and what you could find out there. I mean, yes, there is also that aspect on the, you know, the more terrestrial based 4Xs like Civilization, but it's just not quite the same thing as when you're out there in space. It's a different setting. And, you know, there's that much greater degree of unknown, and that's exciting. It's for those who are curious, for those who stare up at the night sky and wonder, that is a big part of its appeal.
Okay. Yeah, I think for some folks looking at the terrestrial 4X games, you know, it's the same wonders of the world in all of the different games. I mean, there's some variability here and there, but there's nobody that's putting a wonder out there that has never been seen in human history, right? It's all the same wonders that you can find in the history books as a first.
Right.
And you want something that you haven't already seen in a history book somewhere.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the advantages that Space 4X has is that you can basically make up whatever because we don't know what's out there. So, you know, the only limit is the imagination.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah. Yep. And then combine that with a strategy game, which has always been my bread and butter. I mean, for me, what's not to like?
Yeah. Yeah. Pascal, what is it about the 4X, the space 4X genre specifically that so intrigues you that you keep coming back to it after 20 years?
Well, I'm very much the Federation guy, so it's really about exploration, discovering new races, engaging in diplomacy, discovering new cultures and planets and mysteries. But also, on the other hand, I also have this Star Wars vein. the big space battles, if possible, with fighters and destroyers and battleships. Of course, if all is included, it's really great, and I really like it.
So you want to seek out new life and new civilizations, and then blow them up.
No, usually yeah, exactly. No, usually, I try to defend myself. So I'm usually not the aggressor, but I like it if someone attacks me sometimes.
Okay then.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit paradox, but yeah.
Well, for what it's worth, Pascal, I totally agree.
It's all the other guy's fault. Now I'm going to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Hey, as long as we're all on the same page, you know, as long as we've all agreed that's what we're doing, I get it, you know. For what is out there currently that is either, you know, a relatively recent release or something that you've just now poked around at in a beta that's kind of new, what's the cool new hotness that's caught your eye that you can't wait to play with? Mike, what do you want to get your hands on next?
So for me, I think the one, if I had to sit down right now and play a Space 4X game, I think it would be Interstellar Space Genesis. And I say that because I think the developer of that just seems to be so, he's as big a fan as I am, I think, of Space 4X games. I think he's really trying. And I think the way he's approaching it is good. And I think eventually that's going to be an outstanding game. And I think he's using Master of Orion as kind of a template of what to do and what not to do. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with that one.
So if you're going to rip something off, rip off the Masters, right?
Well, I mean, it's a good starting point. I don't know why we haven't seen that with, say, the historical side. I mean, with Humankind, maybe we're going to see that now, but, yeah, start with the known, I think, and then go from there.
All right. Pascal, what's the cool new hot thing that you're either playing with now or can't wait to get a hold of?
Well, I was a little bit on hold with Interstellar Space, so I really look forward for the expansion. Is it not coming today? Or
As of today, it'll be coming out tomorrow. And
So this is what I would like to play now, get the new DLC and playing this. It's a good game. It's not the greatest game, but it's a good game, and they continue to work on it. So it's quite enjoyable. It's not perfect, but it's quite enjoyable. Despite the teddy bears, but I want to play the other race, the aquatic race.
So are the teddy bears going to become like licensed marketing? Are we going to see these on kids' lunchboxes, you know, if they ever end up in school again?
No, but I mean, otherwise, there's just one game I really I am expecting, and it's been quite a few years, and Sam knows it. It's Horizon 2. They have been working in very secretly on this sequel of Horizon.
Is that still coming out?
It's still coming out. They are working on it, but very discreetly, and they really want to aim at AAA level. So they want, but they keep low profile because they really want to have the best possible product. I've seen a couple of pictures of it, but it's already 2 years old. I have no idea where they're going to, but I'm expecting it to be a huge, huge game.
I would love to see that. I actually did a Star Trek mod for Horizon, if no one's ever played Horizon.
I did contact the developer a couple of times, also this year, so I know they are still working on it, but it's very low profile, and I think it's going to be a very big surprise when it comes out, because nobody expects it.
Now, that'd be a must buy for me, because I enjoyed the first one.
Okay.
So that's what I'm waiting for, because otherwise I don't know. I don't think there's anything on. There's nothing on the horizon.
Well, there's one I'm going to mention. There's one I'm going to mention here in a moment. If you don't.
Don't say Distant Worlds 2.
Yeah. Well, there's Distant Worlds 2. There's, of course, a lot of Wriggle.
Distant Worlds 2 is the one I was referring to.
Okay, that's another big one, yeah.
Yeah. That's the one I think a lot of folks are anticipating, and hopefully it finally comes out sometime next year.
Just one question on that one. Is that real time or is that turn based?
That one is real time.
I'm out.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah, it's weird. You know, I never considered myself, and I still don't really consider myself a fan of real-time strategy games. I still prefer turn-based overall. But after Distant Worlds and then Stellaris came out, I was forced to admit that if the game has the right features and the right design, I might be able to change my mind a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, Stellaris is so slow. But sometimes it happened to me that I fall asleep. It happened to me.
No, I believe it, and I do understand where you're coming from on that. There is a pacing issue with Stellaris, among other issues. The pacing is definitely one of them. At this point, I think we have to just hope that Stellaris 2, whenever that one comes out, maybe, you know, hopefully before we die,
right after Victoria 3 comes out, you'll get your Stellaris 2.
Isn't it like a Duke Nukem Eternal that everybody's still waiting on? That, you know,
that's why it's called Eternal, right?
And Michael, get the reference, but I'm betting every one of them comes out before Orange Crush does. a quick question just to wrap this up some, and this may end up being a whole bunch of, I don't really have a great example, but I'm curious, everything we've talked about in the space 4X genre so far has been all computer games. It's been all digital stuff. Are there any tabletop space 4X games out there that any of you guys have tried or that you've particularly enjoyed or thought were all that great?
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah. So like Banzai Cat, you know, Eckenfels did a really long Space Corp AAR.
That's not it.
He did a really long Space Corp AAR for the site that ran, you know, 20-odd episodes and did a very good detailed walkthrough of the game. So there are some decent, you know, tabletop Space 4X games out there. Obviously, on the tabletop, you're definitely limited in scope compared to what you can get away with on a computer just because the space is, you know, no pun intended, mm-hmm. but the physical space it all takes up is different. So, Mike, sounds like you've got a definite answer for that.
No, don't have to think about this one. And I will say that the Space Corps AAR by Banzai Cat was excellent. That was enjoyable. No, the answer is Space Empires 4X. And there is no other – and there's no other historical game in my mind or space game that comes as close to duplicating what they've done on the computer as they have with a board game. And if you've never played Space Empires 4X, you should, especially if you like the computer Space 4X area, because it's amazing. And to me, it comes very close to duplicating what you're experiencing on the computer. It may be better because, you know, you can play up to, I think it's 4, maybe more now with the expansions. You're still exploring. You have ships that are going out. Hmm. You're turning over counters that will reveal a planet or a black hole or asteroids. You're mining. You're developing your colonies. Space Empires 4X by GMT, no doubt.
How many of the expansions have you played with?
Yes, I've only played the base game. I own every expansion, but I have yet to actually, and that's a testament to how good this game is to me. I have yet to add the expansions into it.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
I didn't hear the question.
I was just going to say, somehow I'm not surprised that you have all the expansions and have still not managed to use them. So
no, in fact, I think they even released like a larger board that you could buy to fit more counters into a hex. I actually bought that and I use that too. And if you're into tabletop simulator, there's actually a mod there that you can play Space Empire 4X in tabletop simulator.
That's
oh Lord,
great. Sam, sounded like you were going to jump in there too. What do you got?
Well, for me, it's the granddaddy of them, or the big one, of course, which is Twilight Imperium.
Yeah, I figured you were going there.
yeah. Well, I mean, I've talked about it in the forums before. I mean, it's not a huge secret. I'm a fan, even if it does take about, you know, four years, and that's to play, and that's just setting up the board.
Yeah, I was gonna say it takes two of those just to set the thing up. So
yeah.
So it's basically World in Flames in space.
It's
yeah. Have you played Twilight Imperium, Mike?
I have not.
So, Mike, Fantasy Flight games are notorious for having all the bits and pieces spread out all over the table, right? They've got markers for everything and counters for everything and like six different decks of cards for everything. That's just what Fantasy Flight does for their big box games. Twilight Imperium is the big boxiest of the big box games. And
this is, not pictured. Sam nodding vigorously.
Yeah, it is an OCS equivalent for setup, just for the amount of time it takes to get it all out on the table. And that's why if you ever look in a game convention program and look for a Twilight Imperium event in there, if it's less than if it's under a 2-hour game, it's just a 2 or 3 turn demo. If you're going to try and play a full game of Twilight Imperium, it's going to be at least an 8-hour if you're looking at a convention
program. At least. No joke.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking, and even that's a fast game.
I'm looking. It is on Tabletop Simulator, so there's that.
Yeah. Well, because you're going to have to save and come back to it a dozen or more times just to get everybody in there. So Pascal, 4X on the tabletop. Have you done much?
My problem is I don't have anyone to play with.
You've got four kids.
But I mean,
and that is not a problem, by the way.
Nobody from my family likes games. And my friends, we played some Diplomacy and Risk, but that was already it was okay. But I mean, no space strategy games.
Yeah.
And but actually, this is one of the main reasons why I started playing computer games, because I had no one to play on board games.
Do not let that stop you.
No, I have a huge amount of games which I intend to play with my kids, poor kids. But I don't have any space for X games.
Now, Mike can tell you all about how to adapt any board game you want into a solitaire game.
It can be done.
And has a whole YouTube channel built on it at this point.
It can be done.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's really what I want to do.
Well, that's a totally separate issue, right? Clearly, it is something Mike wants to do because he can't stop doing it. So, all right, guys, this has been a lot of fun talking some Space 4X stuff. This is cool. This is definitely a new topic for us, something out of the ordinary and something that we've never tackled in any of the podcasts that I've ever worked with. And so this is kind of cool. I think maybe down the line we come back around and maybe talk about some specific games and dig into them in a little more detail, whether it's some new releases that you guys are real excited about, or whether it's some classics that you're dusting off and just getting back into, or we just spend an hour and a half letting the three of y'all talk about Star Trek, and any of the above we'll probably fill up a whole podcast and maybe a little more, but this has been pretty cool. Pascal, I especially thank you for staying up pretty late for your time. Obviously, for our listeners, it's whenever they want, but it's pretty late for you. And so I appreciate you taking the time and joining us. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Pascal.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, everyone, for letting me in. And it was a good chat and a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And Sam, thank you for finally making it onto a podcast after, you know, a half a decade or so of, you know, listening to them, mocking us for them, that you finally have joined us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I figured, you know, it was about time.
Yeah, something like that. And Mike, thank you for ably fulfilling co-host duties yet again. So.
Yep, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah. Good job, Ed. Well done.
No, I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Guys, I have tacos downstairs waiting for me, so I appreciate y'all being here. Audience, thank you for joining us on Mention and Dispatches. If you haven't yet, go hit the iTunes page and just give us a rating. It doesn't matter what rating. We just need more of them to start showing up in the iTunes recommendations and searches. Mike, I think, knows that we've had the podcast start to show up on some of the rankings out there for the different podcast evaluation sites that are out there. One of them actually has us in the top 200 gaming podcasts in the U.S. at this point. So that's kind of
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we'd like to bump that up a little bit. Maybe we can make it into the top 100. Maybe not. I mean, we're sort of a niche of a niche in the gaming world, but we don't get anywhere without our wonderful audience throwing some ratings our way so that other people know that they're listening. So hope folks can do that.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Pascal. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you guys joining us. Thank you, especially to the audience, for sticking with us through this episode. And we will talk to everybody next time on another episode of Mentioned in Dispatches with the Armchair Dragoon.